Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Pot and Public Policy. Joining us from the Brookings Institute, we have John Hudak joining us again. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
You know, there's been a ton of news lately regarding the Trump administration, and those of us in the marijuana industry, of course, have been looking at the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, and his repeated calls for seemingly to go back to the 1980s, just say no war on drugs. But at a more meta level today, I want to talk about the Trump administration in general, because there's been a lot of news lately about this Russian collusion, Russian scandal. And I know a lot of our listeners out there are wondering, are we even going to have to worry about Jeff Sessions? Are they going to be around that long? Can you give us a basic rundown of what we know today and how this might affect our industry?
Sure. Well, as many of your listeners know, there has been an ongoing controversy involving the administration dating back to the campaign about whether the campaign was colluding with the Russian government to try to disseminate information about Secretary Clinton. And collusion with a foreign government to advance an election or to change an election or even to get something of value as part of the election is illegal under federal law. And so this investigation has been going on in multiple congressional committees. A special an independent counsel has been appointed to examine this. And we found out through a New York Times report on Monday that the president's son, Donald Trump Jr., took a meeting during the primary campaign with an individual who is described as a Russian government lawyer, stating that that person had incriminating information about Secretary Clinton. And the president's son, the president's son-in-law, and the president's then campaign manager, Paul Manafort, took this meeting with this woman. And that was, of course, not fake news, because it was confirmed today when the president's son released the emails that explained this activity verbatim. And so that's the background on it. The reality then, or the next question, is what does this mean? And what it means is it's actually a pretty damning admission from the president's son. This is as close to an admission of guilt to federal criminal offenses as you could imagine, coming from a member of the president's family. And it really next puts into question what is next. Who knew this? When did they know it? Did the president know it? And was this something that was one-off? Not that that would minimize it. Was it something that was ongoing? And it begins to raise questions about, I think, where this administration is going and how long until we start to advance the conversation about criminal charges or more.
So practically speaking, it's not as if, you know, Trump's going to be impeached in the next month and Sessions is going to be out on his ear. This is a process that's going to take months and months, if it even begins at all. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, absolutely. The impeachment process in the United States has in the Constitution a standard, and that is that an individual, an officer of the United States, can be impeached if they have committed a high crime or a misdemeanor. That's what the text of the Constitution says. The reality is impeachment happens because of a political process. That is, Congress can impeach a president for whatever reason Congress wants, and the president could also commit a ton of high crimes and misdemeanors, and Congress can choose not to impeach him. And so what is weighed in any impeachment process is both presidential behavior and the politics around the president. And right now, President Trump remains wildly popular among Republicans. And so if the House tries to impeach the president, the Republican House, I should add, tries to impeach the president, they will irritate many of the same voters who they need to go to get reelected in a year and a half. And so those politics make it very unlikely that impeachment would ever happen. Impeachment would only happen if the behavior became so reprehensible that even members of their own party looked out at their constituency of Republicans and said, wow, this guy, even the core Republican supporters think this guy needs to go, then there's a chance that he gets impeached and removed. But short of that, and we are nowhere near there right now, Donald Trump's going to continue to be president.
So failing that we're going to actually get Sessions ousted through any sort of process that removes the Trump administration, the next question would be the political reality of it. With all these investigations, everything that's happening in Congress regarding this Russia scandal and collusion, what are the chances that Sessions and Trump can make good on their promises to crack down on this drug scourge as they see it?
So I'll back up a little bit by saying the ability for the Attorney General to continue to serve and the ability of the President to continue to serve can be two different things. It's important to remember that the Attorney General is also caught up in the Russia investigation. He met with the Russian ambassador multiple times and never admitted to that when, during his confirmation process, he was supposed to put down every time he met with a foreign official. And so you have to assume that the Attorney General is at least not necessarily a target, but he is someone who both the House and Senate Intelligence Committees and the Special Counsel are looking at. That said, there's no evidence that he's done something that is criminal that would require that would push the President to ask for his resignation or for him to submit it regardless. So then, what does it mean, but your next question was, what does that mean for policy moving forward? And what often happens when you are mired in a scandal like this, although this is a presidential scandal of fairly unprecedented proportions, but when you are in a situation like this, it slows your policy agenda down to a halt. And one of the things that at least a talented president and administration and chief of staff would tell the administration in a period like this is, do not rock the boat. Do not do things that are controversial policy-wise. Do not do things that will irritate parts of the base, because the Trump administration, let's be frank right now, is in a survival mode. And they are hanging on because there are enough Republicans who support the president to allow him to continue moving forward. For marijuana, it's actually a unique position because there are a lot of Republican members of the Trump base who support marijuana reform, wholly adult use reform, and there are even more who support medical marijuana reform. And so if the call goes out, don't do anything very controversial. While it's no guarantee that Jeff Sessions is going to have his hands tied, because frankly, trying to guess what Jeff Sessions is going to do is a losing proposition. But I would say that given Sessions' rhetoric throughout his career and even since he has become Attorney General, if you are worried about a crackdown, the best thing that could happen is for a presidency to be so paralyzed by an unrelated scandal that it feels like it can't rock the boat. And we might be there now.
What a interesting silver lining from all of this. Let's talk about federal policy. One of the policies that we follow every year for the past two or three years has been the Rohrabacher Amendment, whether it's Rohrabacher-Farr, Rohrabacher-Blumenauer. It seems like always got a new co-sponsor. Recently, our opponents at Project Sam crowed about this not being included in the base subcommittee bill. Now they're having to backtrack and fight against the committee chairs because it's yet again going to be included. Tell us about the Rohrabacher bill and its chances moving forward and that reaction from Project Sam.
Sure. First, I'll start with the news that I think many of your listeners will consider good news. I think there's an extraordinarily high chance that Rohrabacher-Blumenauer, formerly Rohrabacher-Farr, is passed in the next funding bill and continues to allow protections for medical marijuana operators to avoid Department of Justice intervention. The actual legislative process around this is pretty arcane. And so when you get down to, very tiny matters of spending policy. And even though I think for your listeners, the Rohrabacher-Blumenauer Amendment is as big of a deal as it comes, in the eyes of Congress, this is, you know, bits and pieces policy. Some of it gets included in the original bill, which could have happened, but has not happened with this amendment in the past. And thus, Project Sam popped champagne bottles, or I don't know if they drink alcohol, so maybe not champagne, maybe apple juice bottles. They declared this as a victory. The reality is, many amendments end up in legislation much later in the process. In subsequent versions of the of a bill, it can be inserted during markup, which is a period in which a subcommittee considers the details of the legislation and then also adds amendments to that legislation, which is oftentimes where amendments like this get inserted. Amendments can also get inserted when that bill comes to the floor for full debate. A lot of amendments tend to get inserted then as well. And so that it's not in the bill now is pretty standard policy in Congress. In fact, I would have been shocked if it was in the original legislation. What you'll see now is we're taping this before the markup hearing will happen, and I think it will air after the markup hearing will happen. So by now, we know whether it was included in markup. And that would require a vote in the subcommittee, which has happened before. And if it is not inserted then Congressman Rohrabacher will have probably an opportunity to insert it on the House floor so that instead of a small congressional subcommittee deciding about this, the entire House of Representatives will decide on its inclusion. And for medical marijuana advocates, that's a good thing, because every time this amendment gets voted on, more and more members of Congress vote for it. And so I cannot imagine a scenario in which the full House of Representatives, considering Rohrabacher-Blumenauer, would shift back dramatically in the other direction in terms of its support, especially considering the new freshman members of Congress are pro-marijuana reform, and they replaced some prohibitions.
Well, it sounds like the only thing that was missing from Project Sam celebration was a mission accomplished banner across a battleship. John Hudak,
right.
It's always entertaining and informative when we speak to you. Before we let you go, do you have any contact information or websites that you'd like to tell our listeners about?
Sure. As always, you can read our work on marijuana at brookings.edu. There's a marijuana tab there, which displays all of it, and I encourage your readers to buy my book, Marijuana, A Short History, available on Amazon.
Thanks so much, John Hudak, for stopping in for our Pot and Public Policy segment. We appreciate it.
As always, thank you.